Thank you, John and Jeanette. Thank you for your service to this church and God's kingdom. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter 2. Read with me verses 7 through 10. What verses these are. What truth. What mercy. What grace. Great grace of our God. Written to His people, His chosen people, those who believe. Read it with me. Verse 7. 1 Peter 2, 7. Unto you, therefore, which believe, He is precious, rare, valuable, wonderful. 1 Peter 2, 7. Unto you, which believe. Do you believe? Have you obtained like precious faith with us? I believe I have. Is not Christ, is not the gospel precious? An honor, the margin says an honor. Is it not an honor to be here? Is it not a high calling, a heavenly calling, a blessed calling, a privilege, an undeserved privilege? Is it not joy and rejoicing? Is not Christ precious? His blood. And unto them which be disobedient, they reject the truth. Stone which the builders disallowed, same as made the head of the corner. He's a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. Oh, Jesus Christ is the foundation stone, the chief cornerstone, the rock upon which God's people stand. Do you? I do. All my hope is built on Jesus' blood and righteousness. How about you? Dare not trust the sweetest frame. I wholly and completely lean on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ, a solid rock. We sing that song so much. We've sung that song 4,552 times in the last 5 years. Never tire of it. Standing on the rock. Everything, if men only knew, this whole universe rests on Him. He undergirds it all. He's the Lord of it all. Oh, our Lord Jesus Christ, sovereign, unchanging rock, eternal, reigning, ruling, Lord over all. The world rejects Him. But there He sits. The world stumbles at the truth. Verse 8, the stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. The world stumbles at the truth, but the truth still stands. Mankind is offended, a rock of offense. Mankind is offended about a God who is God, holy, just, and sovereign. But He is. Christ, who said, fall on me and you'll be broken, but if I fall on you, I'll grind you to powder. Man doesn't believe a Jesus Christ like that. But there He is. And the world says He's just Jesus. He's just Jesus, meek and wild. He wants and wishes and hopes and loves all. And if you let Him be your Lord, He'll be, no. There He sits at the right hand of the Majesty on high, reigning and ruling. And everybody and everything is in His sovereign power to do with as He pleases. Nobody lets Him do anything. He's the one letting everybody else do everything. There He is. Is that rock? There He sits. These rebels, he says, they're disobedient. Verse 8, disobedient rebels, that's a rebel, child of wrath, disobedient, disrespectful, dishonor their God whom they call their father, they disobey, they dishonor, they're disrespectful to Him, they don't fear Him, God and Creator, the Lord and only Savior. It says they're appointed vessels of wrath. Fit for destruction. That's what Romans 9 said. People say, I don't believe that. I do, and there it is. We'll explain it. Don't have to. Appoint it. Now here's the gospel. Here's the good news. Here's the amazing and marvelous thing. We believe. We really do. It's not a stone of, He's not a stone of stumbling at all. He's our rock that we fall on and that we're founded on, that we're grounded on, that we believe on, that we hope in. It's not offensive at all. No. It's just our salvation. He is. Here's the gospel. That was you and you who were sometime disobedient and children of wrath, even as others. But God. What? Chose you. That's where the next verse starts. You're a chosen generation. There you go again, preacher, election. That's right. Because that's where it all started. That's where God's purpose of salvation, that's where everything started. It was with God's sovereign decree, choosing a people and giving them to Jesus Christ before they were born, before the world began. And their names were written and put in a Lamb's Book of Life for Christ to come down here and pay that precious price of His blood. They all know it. They all know that. In time, they know that God chose them. God chose Christ to be their Savior. And Christ came, didn't try to save them. He saved them. There he sits. You're a chosen generation. A chosen generation. And verse 9 says, to show forth His praise. Praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness, you who were blind, even as others, into His marvelous light. To show forth the praises of Him. Ephesians 1 begins with election, doesn't it? Chosen generation. Go there. You'd like to turn there again? Sure you will. Ephesians 1. Go back there. Ephesians 1. This is where it all began. With God's choice, God's sovereign electing grace. I'm not offending a doctrine, people. We're not just harping on a doctrine here. We're glorifying God. We're trying to declare the God who is God. Whoever has free will is God. Right? And we read there in Psalm 135 says, He doeth at our God hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. Man's got it backwards. You know that. Man's got God wanting and wishing and wanting and can't. But man, it's all up to man. It's up to His sovereign will. That's just a lie. And Ephesians 1 says in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, and they're all in Christ. Blessed be God. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ for His blessings. And here it is, where it all started. Verse 4, according as He hath chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world. That's where it started. And it goes on to talk about predestination and inheritance and revealing the truth to you according to His will, the good pleasure of His will, and gathering you together and faith that comes by His mighty power. It started with God choosing you. And while the world just hates that. You know, men and women love election. They're man's election of things. When an election comes up, an election year, they think, I got the power to elect the president. My vote counts. I mean, you really do. You promise me something, I might elect you. Or a local servant, yeah. You give me some of these things I'm asking for, and I might put you in office. And then you're obligated to me because I chose you. Men love that, don't they? They love their right, their sovereign right to choose their rulers. And they hate God's right to choose. Hate it. But not God's people. They're lovers of God. And this is the thing that distinguishes God over those who are not God's. This is the one thing. This is where it all starts. That our God, the Lord God, reigneth. He had His will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay His hand. He said, I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Right? I will be gracious. Blessed God is gracious. But it's sovereign on whom I will be gracious. What do you say to these things? For the world said, we will not have this God reign over. But I got news for the world. He does.
That's right.
And God's people, though, are made willing in the day of His power. They believe. And they love to have it so. A chosen generation. You know these verses. They're quoted all the time. Oh, we're bound to give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because. That's the first thing. God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the truth. What's the truth, John? It starts with God being God. This is eternal life, our Lord said, that they might know thee, the only true God. That's where it starts. That's whether you, when you first hear the truth of who God is and what you are and who Christ is and of salvation, the first, you don't even know if you're saved or not. You don't know if you're one of the elect or not. You don't know. You feel so sinful you think there's no way it can be made. But here's one thing you know. God is God. That's the first thing you find out. He's God. Not the God I used to believe. Not the one I used to believe in. That I let. And I'd let him be. No, you find out God is God. He just might let you in his kingdom. That's what you find out. And it creates the fear of the Lord. What's that make you do? Call on the Lord for mercy, for grace. And what's the Lord do? He points you to Jesus Christ. Right there's your hope. Right there's your salvation. Bound to give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath chosen you. No one believes that until God reveals himself to them. Nobody. God chose you through the sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth whereunto he called you by our gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Preaching the gospel is what God uses to save sinners. People say, no, I was saved on the top of a hill. No, you weren't. Gospel is the power of God. He uses preaching of the gospel. Through sanctification of the Spirit, belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. What's that mean? To see his glory. Because in the ages to come, he's going to show his people the exceeding riches of his grace and his glory to us in Christ Jesus. And the first thing he's going to show us, and we're going to stand there amazed that he chose us. Why me? It says, now go back to our text. He said, you who believe, and he's precious to, whom the gospel is not offense. Nothing Christ says, nothing God says is offensive. It's all glorious. It's all wonderful. It's all your hope. You're a chosen generation. And you know what the word generation means? It means kin. You know what that word means, huh? Kinfolk. He chose you to be his kinfolk. That's what it means. I looked up the word. And, in the beginning, God made everything after its kind. Kindred. Like him. Well, he chosen us, Ephesians says, predestinated us to be his children in the image of Jesus Christ. His kin, just like him. His kinfolk. Who did God choose to be his kin? Go to Matthew 1 with me, real quickly. Who did God choose to be his kinfolk? Well, look at this. This is the generation. This is the family of Jesus Christ. You have it, Matthew 1. This is our Lord's family tree. He's the tree. They're the branches. Right, verse 3, Jude begat Phares and Zerah of Tamar. Who's Tamar? There are four women mentioned here.
All of them are bad women.
Sinful women. Forlorn women. Yes, sir. All of Tamar. She committed incest, but the Lord gave a child. And this was our Lord's great-great-great-great-great-grandmother. It's who he chose to be his great-great-great-great-great-grandmother. Okay. Verse 5, Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. That's who the Lord chose as his kin. Are you with me? Say, I can't be in his family. I'm the chief of sinners. That's a good sign you are. I'm less than the least. I'm not worthy. I'm a sinner. I'm the worst. Really? Oh, it's a faithful saint. That's who he came for. Rahab. The Lord chose Rahab to be his great-great-great-great-great-grandmother. Go on. Then Ruth. Same verse. Ruth. Who's Ruth? A Moabite heathen woman. Didn't know God. Wasn't seeking God. But God chose. Her hap was to light on the field that belonged to her kinsman redeemer. And so it is with you. You heathen, you. Woman. Ruth. Wherever you are from, he chose you to be in his kin. And then, verse 6, the wife of Uriah, Bathsheba. That's who the Lord chose as his kin. Would you tell people my great-great-great-grandmother was a prostitute? Would you? No, you would not. The Lord did. Why? It's to the praise of the glory of his grace for choosing her. You see? Chosen generation. Look at the next thing. A royal priesthood. Royal priesthood. Royalty. Descendant of the king. That's a royal person. An heir to the throne. Our God is king. Christ is king. His children are royalty. See, I sure don't feel like a son of God. Well, listen to this. In the end, you know what we're all going to be singing? All of us are going to know this song. We're all going to be singing. It says in Revelation 5, they sung a new song. Thou art worthy to take the book, open the seals thereof, for thou hast was slain and hast redeemed us. Kinsman redeemer. Redeemed us to God by thy blood. Out of every kindred and of every tongue and people and nation has made us unto our God kings and priests. And we'll reign on the new earth. In Adam all died, in Christ all. Adam was a little king when he opened the earth. We're all going to be on a new earth. Kings and priests. A royal generation. Royalty. Whose family would you rather be in? Queen Elizabeth or our Lord Jesus Christ? Royal priesthood. Made us kings and priests. The priesthood. And I had so many verses in Hebrews, John, I want to turn to about the priesthood. And no man taketh this honor to himself, but he that is called of God, like Aaron. When in the beginning, God established the priesthood, didn't he? Back in Exodus, the priesthood, tabernacle, priest, and the blood. Tabernacle, priest, and the blood. Three things you had to do, have to worship the true God. The tabernacle, the priest, and the blood. Temple, a priest, the high priest, the offer, and the blood. Right? Three things. Without those, you can't worship God. You don't know God. There is no worship of God. You can't come to God. God won't accept you. There's no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. And these three are one in Christ. You know that. Y'all know that. Gentiles. Well, Christ is glorified. He glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but God said, thou art my son, and thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And Paul went on to say, there's too much to say about that to go into that right there. But it says here, listen to this. I do want to read this. It says that Christ has not entered into holy place made with hands, but into heaven itself to appear in the presence of God, to offer his own precious blood to God. See, he didn't offer this to man. He offered it to God. We keep saying that, don't we, sister? They didn't offer himself to man. That's a false gospel. Anybody that says that is a false preacher. Anybody that believes that doesn't know the gospel. Doesn't believe Christ. He offered himself without spot to God. He offered up that one sacrifice forever to God, the blood. And God accepted it on whose behalf? His elect. His chosen. And that's good news to me. It's good news to me that what Christ did actually secured my salvation. It's not up to me. Is that not good news? That doesn't offend me. That makes me happy. If anything's left up to me, If anything's left up to me, I lose my salvation. But it was all left up to Christ. He said, of those which thou hast given me, I've lost none. I've kept them all. Saved them all. Brothers and sisters, it's the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, our great high priest, that maketh atonement for the soul. Aren't you glad? The royal priesthood. The priesthood, I was going to have you go back to 1 Chronicles. And David took lots of sons of Levi and made them, and they were priests. And one man, though. One high priest was go in to the Holy of Holies and offer up blood. Now you know who that is. That's Jesus Christ. One man. The rest of them were common priests. They were priests, but they weren't high priests. And Christ is our great high priesthood. He offered the blood. What do we do? Well, David appointed singers of the Levites. He said, you. This is going to be your service from here on. Sing! I can do that. John, priest, you've made a priest. Sing! Isn't that a wonderful occupation? It's not work, is it? That's glory. Yes, I can do that. Some were made porters. That's gatekeepers, doorkeepers. Ed, you be sure and lock the door. When we leave here, that's your job, priests. Or Stephen, stand back there when we open it and greet the people. What a job. Isn't that wonderful? They were all saying, make me priest, make me. Doorkeepers, gatekeepers. Well, somebody's got to bake some bread. And somebody's got to wash some dishes. Somebody's got to clean the ashes and take them out. Make me. Priests. We're not offering blood. Christ did that. We're just ministering about the tabernacle. This place where the blood is preached. Christ is honored, glorified. Isn't it wonderful to be a son of God and a priest in His temple? His commandments are not grievous, they're wonderful. Look at the next thing. He says, you're a holy nation. A holy nation. Nation means a united people. Holy. That means a people that are unblameable, unreprovable, devoted, accepted by God, sanctified, righteous, accepted, holy to a holy God who sees us. Oh, not me. Yes, you. Do you believe Christ? Mm-hmm. Do you believe Christ? And I got a verse for you. 1 Corinthians 1:30. Of God are you in Christ, who of God is made unto you. Do you like this verse? You want to hear it again? Of God He's made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. We're His kin. He's our Redeemer. According as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And that's why Paul said, God forbid that I should glory saving the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Holy nation. This nation is not one nation under God. You know that? It's one nation under God's wrath, and they can't see it. Of all places to put that, it's desecration, it's blasphemy. Put it on money. No, this is not. That's indicative, isn't it? Money. But God's nation, God's kindred, God's united people in His cause, they are one nation under God's reign and rule, under the blood, aren't they? Holy nation. And then the last thing is His peculiar people. Let me dwell a few more minutes. Okay, I've been 24 minutes. Let me spend the rest of the time on this. They're called a peculiar people. Now, if you have a marginal reference, it reads this, purchased. Peculiar means purchased. And that's what it means, first of all. And and I looked up the word, it means shut up like a treasure. Shut up like a treasure. That's a good definition, isn't it, John? Shut up the faith. Shut in like in the ark. You know, when God had Noah make that ark, it was ugly on the outside. Wasn't it? Ugly. Brown. Everybody passed by. And the ark in the wilderness was covered with badger skin. It was ugly too. And the parasites, the Hivites, they looked past by. Ain't nothing to that. But buddy, on the inside was people that God were precious to God. Something that was precious to God. They were His peculiar treasure. Peculiar people. Found grace in His eyes. Shut up. Special treasure, like an old box with a treasure inside. A peculiar people. They called the sons of Jacob, Israel, they called Jews to be His special people. Now, there's nothing special about them. Nothing special about them. Romans 9 talks about a man taking a lump and making of the same lump one vessel of honor, another under dishonor. What if a man went down in a coal mine and came back out with a black lump of black coal? And he said, look what I found. And it's wonderful. Why, no. It's just a lump of weight. And see what I do with it. Wait and see what I, when it's all finished, you just wait and see what I have. Chosen this black lump to be my peculiar treasure, to be my child, and I'm going to make a vessel of salvation, honor, and glory. And the other cast aside. It's a peculiar choice. The Lord's kin. Peculiar, like we named Tamar and Rahab and Ruth and Bathsheba. The story of Hosea. The story of Hosea of Gomer, the Lord sending Hosea down to marry a woman of whoredom. And her name was Gomer. And that's what these verses are alluding to. It says those that were not a people are now people. And Hosea won. And Gomer had a child named Loromai or something like that. It meant not my people. Can you imagine naming your son? Not mine. That's not mine. Well, he went on to say, but those that are not mine are going to be mine. They're going to be mine. That's Ephesians 2. Once children of wrath, even as a, but God chose you to be His. That's peculiar, isn't it? Peculiar. Chosen. Make of a lump. Same lump. One under honor and one under dishonor. Let me tell you some, and that the word peculiar means just what we attach to it. It means strange. It means uncommon. It means unordinary, unusual, beyond usual, unusual. That's an unusual choice. An unusual people, strange. God's people, they're God's peculiar treasure, and they're not known, seen of the world like Christ was not. But they're His people. And they have some strange things about them, some peculiar things that make them His people. God's people have peculiar beliefs about God. And the more time goes on, the more peculiar would the truth be to this world. Like I quoted, to turn away their ears from the truth unto fable. Now that was 2,000 years ago. Now 2,000 years later, the truth is so foreign, it's so strange, that when you tell men and women that God really is God, that He doesn't, nobody can let Him do anything or even thwart Him or or keep him, that he does exactly what he will, that he purposed everything. He's all powerful, omniscient, omnipresent, all powerful, that he did everything. He known under him or all his works from the beginning of the world. And when he spoke it back there and wrote it in the book, it's going to be done and nothing can stop. That's the God of the Bible. And he's holy and he's sovereign. He will by no means clear the guilty. He will punish iniquity. He will punish sin. This is all foreign, strange doctrine that man is corrupt through and through. In Ephesians 1, he said of his people, a sinful nation. Didn't he? The whole head is sick, the whole heart is faint. No, the world says, that's not true. That's strange. What are you talking about? Well, we're not the ones that said that. God did. So the Bible becomes strange. The truth becomes strange. God becomes strange. And the people that believe these things, that believe God and His Word, are strange people. You sure have strange, peculiar beliefs down there. What? That God is God? That man is sinful? Dead? That's what the book says. That salvation is of the Lord? That's what the book says. It's just strange to people who are strangers to the covenant. They're strangers to God, who don't know God, whom God has not revealed Himself to. It's the truth. It always has been the truth. It ever will be the truth. Unknown. The unknown God. That's what Paul preached on Mars Hill. To the unknown God, Him I declare unto you. Peculiar. God. You say God is God. You say man is dead. You say salvation is on by the righteousness of another. I mean, you mean to tell me that I take the blame for what one man did way back 6,000 years ago? Adam? You know I'm going to suffer because of him? Yep. And the only way I'm going to get to heaven by another man? Yep. Adam all died, Christ all made alive. That's the truth, in a nutshell. That's strange. That's peculiar. Death by blood, by the blood of another, that's a barbaric. We're over there. We're modern people. Well, we're civilized people. Blood, we don't use that. We don't need that bloody religion anymore. Oh, yes, you do. God hadn't changed. That's peculiar. God's people have peculiar habits, peculiar ways of worship. Peculiar ways of worship. They do three things. They read the Bible. Four things. They read the Bible. They hear the Bible preached. They sing the song. And they pray. And that's it. That's it. That's all they do. No flesh. That's strange. That's peculiar. They have a peculiar language. God's people have a peculiar language. They use terms like God is just. God is holy. They talk about things like justification. Justification. Don't you love that? You know, Christ, we're justified by the blood of Christ by which we could not be justified by the law. Righteousness. They love to use the word righteousness. Like David, they'll speak of no other but his. Righteousness. Abraham believed God. It was counted unto him for righteousness. Well, I believe God. Well, that makes me righteous. Praise his holy name. Righteousness of another. They talk about sanctification. They talk about propitiation. They say things like this. This is how you know God's people. This is the language they use. It's a peculiar language. And we were eating dinner with some neighbors one time. They just insisted we join them, and we did. And Mindy was talking to them, and they said, when the Lord revealed himself to Paul, that's when the Lord saved him. What do you mean, revealed himself? You mean he actually saw a vision? Isn't that what you say? Do you not say when somebody asks you, we talk about salvation, do you not say, one day the Lord revealed himself to me? Don't you? Is that not the term you use? We all know what that means, most of us. When the Lord revealed himself to me. That's Ephesians 1, isn't it? He made known unto us the mystery of his will, the revelation of himself. Salvation by revelation. That God reveals himself to us. Makes himself known to us. That's unheard of. It. That's peculiar language. That's what all of God's people said. Let me close with these two verses here in verse 9 and 10. It says, now, he did all this, a peculiar people, to show forth what? The praises of him. See, that's what God's people are all about. That's why he saved them. That's what they do. That's all they do. They really do. Give him all the glory. They really are giving him all the glory. The praises of him who did what? Called them out of darkness into his marvelous light. In Revelation it says those that are with him are called, chosen. That's what it says. Who's with him? Called. You see your calling, brethren? Peculiar calling. Not many wise, not many noble, not many mighty. Nothings and nobodies from nowhere. Rahabs and Tamars and Ruths. And, huh? You see your calling, brother? Peculiar choice, isn't it? Why? Because God gets the glory. All of it. Called, chosen, and faithful. What are they faithful about? His glory. His honor. What are they doing? One thing. That's what God's people are doing. One thing. One thing. This is the difference. This is the difference between God's chosen people. To him be the glory. Dare not the glory in anything or anyone. We're not going to share his glory. And he goes on to say, which in time past were not a people. Oh, maybe religious, but not God's people. But now the people of God. Which had not obtained mercy. But now. Have obtained mercy. And the mercy of God. The grace of God. To his glory. The glory of God and his Son. Is God's sovereign choice. And sovereign redemption. Of a people. His chosen people. Now they're a peculiar bunch. But they're his people. All right, let's sing a closing hymn.